Text 19. Chakpade Hiranyakashipur Dorbyam Brahmavarena cha Vashe sapalam lokan streen Akuto mityur uddataha Chakre made Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu. Dorbyam. By his two arms. Brahmavarena. By the benediction of Brahma. Cha. And. Vashe. Under his control. Sapalan, along with their protectors. Lokan, the worlds. Treen, three. Akuto mityuhu, fearing death from no one. Udataha, puffed up. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The elder child, Hiranyakashipu, was unafraid of death from anyone within the three worlds because he received a benediction from Lord Brahma. He was proud and puffed up due to his benediction and was able to bring all three planetary systems under his control. Purport. As will be revealed in later chapters, Hiranyakashipu underwent severe austerity and penance to satisfy Brahma and thus receive a benediction of immortality. Actually, it is impossible for Lord Brahma to give anyone the benediction of becoming immortal, but indirectly, Hiranyakashipu received the benediction that no one within this material world would be able to kill him. In other words, because he originally came from the abode of Vaikuntha, he was not to be killed by anyone within this material world. The Lord desired to appear himself to kill him. One may be very proud of his material advancement in knowledge, but he cannot be immune to the four principles of material existence, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. It was the Lord's plan to teach people that even Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful and strongly built, could not live more than his destined duration of life. One may become as strong and puffed up as Hiranyakashipu and bring under his control all the three worlds. But there is no possibility of continuing life eternally or keeping the conquered booty forever. So many emperors have ascended to power and they are now lost in oblivion. That is the history of the world. Chakre Hiranyakashipur Dorbyam Brahmavarena cha Voshe sapalam lokam streen Akuto mityur uddataha. Nothing happens anywhere, under any circumstances, without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. He is the absolute controller of everything. But he arranges in his appearances in this world, his descents from his spiritual kingdom, his avatars. He arranges to display his pastimes with his devotees. And sometimes there are demons opponents, enemies, who add to the drama. There are different rasas, and fighting is also one of the enjoyments of the Lord. So he sometimes wants someone to fight with. We can blame Jayan Vijay for offending the four Kumaras and ascribe that as to be the cause of their fall down. But our acharyas explained, Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha commentary to the previous chapter makes the point that actually the Lord's desire was behind all these events. He wanted to bring someone to the material world with whom which he could fight in his pastimes as Lord Varahadev, as Lord Nrisingadev, and as Krishna, and as Lord Ramachandra. So these two people serve roles, each as three different demons, to give pleasure to the Lord. This was part of their service. In fact, I discovered this morning, looking at Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary to verse 29 of chapter 16, previous chapter. He says that actually they remained in Vaikuntha. They only expanded partly as demons. And in another part, they remained in Vaikuntha as the doorkeepers. Because it's mentioned, apparently at the same time that they were on earth, being enemies to the Lord, they're also mentioned among the great heroes who fought for Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. They're still on the list of gatekeepers, even in their supposed absence. So Vishwanath Chakravarti affirms that they maintain their eternal position in Vaikuntha. So these are not ordinary demons. They're eternal associates of the Lord. They didn't completely fall down. They just expanded themselves. But upon entering the material world, because they're finite jivas, and because this was the desire of the Lord, they became infected, heavily infected, by the demoniac mentality, asura bhavam. And that is one of the main causes for becoming an enemy of the Lord, becoming either indifferent to him or inimical. Abhajananti ma mudha, Krishna says. Manushim tanu maushrita. Parambhava majananto mamavi amanuttamam. And chaturvida, translation of that. Foolish, fallen souls, which is basically everybody who enters in the material world, they fail to show me proper respect. They neglect me. They even criticize me. When I appear in a human body, they think I'm another one like them. Ravana was with that attitude. He didn't take Lord Ramachandra seriously. He thought this is just another earthly king. I can get away with stealing his wife. I've defeated Indra and all the demigods in heaven and kicked them out of their kingdom. What can this mere earthling do to me? So he disregarded Lord Ramachandra. There was no real attachment there. He didn't take Lord Ramachandra seriously in that birth. This is Aranyaksha. After being killed by Varahadev, he took birth as Ravana. Ravana did not become actually transcendentally attracted to the Lord. Therefore, he had to take his third birth as Shishupala. And Krishna, with his supreme beauty and his wonderful personality, gradually attracted Shishupala's heart. And at the last moment, when the Sudarshan Chakra was coming to cut his head off in the middle of the Rajasiya sacrifice, he attained loving attraction to Krishna. And therefore he got his liberation at that moment, after three times being killed by the Lord. So even though they're eternal associates of the Lord, they're not ordinary demons under the spell of, under the laws of karma, still they became infected. Right? There's asura bhava. Chatur vidaba namam dushkritino mudha papajante naradama maya paritagyana asuram bhavam ashrita. You can take this verse as analyzing four different kinds of non-devotees, or you can take all four adjectives to apply in general to all the non-devotees. Foolish, bewildered, conditioned souls don't surrender to me. They refuse to. Namam dushkritino mudha papante naradama. They're not only just human beings, they're worse than the average human being. The average human being has some decency, has some sense of duty to God. Most human beings have some kind of religion. But the worst of human beings, naradamas, insist on becoming atheists and denying the existence of God. Mayaya parita jnana, and their intelligence tends to be stolen away by delusion. They may be so learned, but in the end, they misunderstand the basic principles of life. They know so many things. They have the knowledge and the power to even conquer the whole three worlds, but they can't conquer their own lust, envy, and greed. Asuram bhavam ashrita. Ultimately, they are helplessly under the control of this demoniac spirit. So this we can understand is what has happened to the two associates of Narayan, Jai and Vijay. They've been thrown into the material world by the Lord's desire, by the strength of the curse of the Kumaras, and they've become infected. Their intelligence is covered over by delusion. They actually think, Hiranyakashipu thinks that he can become immortal. Of course, he is immortal. He's the eternal associate of the Lord. And therefore, as Prabhupada explains, no person of this world, this universe, can ever kill him. But still he will be killed. Jatasya hidruvo mrityur. Anyone who's born in this world is certain to die. You have to be insane to deny that obvious fact. Look at the history of the world. All the great conquerors, all the great heroes, all the great civilizers and contributors to the welfare of human society, they're all dead. They've all died. And you think you're not going to die. Hiranyakashipu, such a brilliant man. We read in the seventh canto, he's preaching, I think, to his servants how not to be afraid of death, how the soul is eternal. So he's very wise. He has so much Vedic knowledge. He can quote from the Shastras. But he thinks, he's so foolish, he thinks he can actually be immortal. He thinks that he can get this immortality from a demigod, from Brahma. He hates Vishnu, so he's not going to worship him. So he goes to the second big man, second biggest man, Brahma, and worships him, presuming that Brahma can give him immortality. He's so foolish, he can't put one and one together to make two. Brahma himself is mortal. He's going to die when the universe is finished. How can he give what he doesn't have himself? How can he bestow immortality? But he did anyway, despite Hiranyakashipu's delusion, this is all serving the purpose of the Lord. And it's serving Hiranyakashipu's ultimate welfare. He's setting himself up to be killed by Lord Nrsingadev. He'll be famous for that forever. There will always be pictures on the wall in the temple of him getting his guts ripped out by Lord Nrsimhadev. So he earned eternal fame, and he got his at least the second installment of his earning of liberation by being killed by Lord Nrsimhadev. That's for his good. It's all part of Krishna's arrangement. That's for Krishna's own pleasure and for everybody else's good. Part of why Lord Nrsimhadev appeared was to fulfill the promises that had been made. Brahma had promised Hiranyakashipu. Well, before that, Lord Narayan promised Ma Baishta Ashtusham. He told, in the previous chapter, chapter 16, he told Jayamvijay, don't be afraid. It'll all end up good for you in the end. You'll come back to me, I promise you, soon. Don't be in anxiety, but go. Now you have to go. So Lord Narayan promised liberation after three lifetimes as demons to Jayamvijaya. Then when Hiranyakashipu did his austerities for 125 years and threatened to suffocate the whole universe or burn the universe with the fire emanating from his body, Lord Brahma had to come and pacify him, to stop him. And as described in the Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu knew that he couldn't directly ask for liberation. So he doesn't ask for that. But he tries to get around it by asking certain things that have to add up to liberation, to immortality. He figured, if no human being, no demigod, no animal can kill me, and nobody can kill me during the day or during the night, nobody can kill me with any kind of weapon, and he added several other clauses, he assumed that must mean that nobody can ever kill me. So he asked all these specific benedictions of Brahma, and Brahma said, yes, I promise you. I can't promise you immortality, but I'll fulfill these specific promises. Now stop your austerities. Let the universe go back to peace. Hiranyakashipu was promised. A promise was made to the four Kumaras that the curse will be played out. Everybody got their promises, so Lord Nrsimhadev appeared to fulfill the promises that he had made and that his devotee Brahma had made. He managed to kill Hiranyakashipu without violating any of the promises of Brahma. He gave Jayamvijaya their auspicious end. He fulfilled all the promises. And later, when Lord Brahma came to fearfully offer respects to Lord Nrsimhadev after the killing of Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsimhadev playfully chastised him. O Padmaja, please don't go around giving benedictions like this to demons anymore. You know, he mildly corrected or chastised him. You know, this is a mistake. You don't do this kind of foolishness anymore. And still, Brahma is known for, after that, offering similar benedictions to other demons, even after being chastised. So here, this is Krishna's arrangement. He allows the demoniac to have their prosperity and victories for some time. He's playing with them. In the form of time, he's playing with the demons, like a cat letting a mouse run away and then catching it again. In the end, the demons are destroyed. There's many lessons that devotees should learn from this. Anyone who's not a devotee, first of all, and has any idea in his head that it might be a good idea to become an opponent of the Lord, should look and see that you cannot cheat God. You cannot get liberation by any means other than getting the full blessings of the Supreme Lord. If you become his enemy, then you will be destroyed. And there's no way to avoid death. Anyone who's born in this world has to die. And when you die, all your material assets are zeroed out. You cannot take your material bank account with you to Vaikuntha or to hell, wherever you're going. And then the devotees should learn from this that the Lord will protect them. Even though the forces of evil, the demons of this world, seem to be getting what they want. They seem to have the upper hand. This is just the temporary arrangement of Krishna to allow them to tie the noose around their own necks and assure their own destruction. Everybody's getting what they deserve. It's all the arrangement of Krishna. So the devotees should trust in Krishna's protection, even when the demons seem to have the upper hand. This is the material world. Sometimes the lower modes are prominent. Vajastamaschabi bhuya sattvam bhavati bharata. Vajak sattvam tamaschaiva, tamak sattvam vajastata. Sometimes, but not all the time, the mode of goodness wins over or is more powerful than the motives of passion and ignorance. But on other times, the lower modes, passion or ignorance, may be prominent and may seem to conquer, to be victorious. This is just the changes of time. In due course of time, everything is balanced out, and justice is always done in the end. Those who are indifferent to the Lord or inimical to the Lord, they will be destroyed. With death, they'll lose everything. But when a devotee dies, the devotees also die. Everybody dies in this world. But when the devotees die, they have spiritual assets that they do take with them. Or if they come back to this world, they get that spiritual bank account is still intact. Ayur hodativai pumsam udyan astoa saudavihi viter yatirte yat kshanonito uttama shloka lilaya vartaya. The sun, when it rises every day, it's marking the passage of time. So you can say poetically, or actually even literally, the sun is taking away your life one day at a time. Actually, astrologically, that is one of the influences of the sun. It is so brilliantly radiant that actually it depletes our energy. The sun is partly a malefic planet, because it takes away our life and our strength. It's literally true that the sun is himself is personally taking away our lifespan one day at a time, every time he rises. That's true for everyone except for those who are absorbed in hearing and chanting the topics about the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Their life is real life is on a different level. They're living actual spiritual life. And so the body can live or it can die. It can die now or it can die 80 years from now. It doesn't matter to the devotee. He's establishing his immortal life. And the sun or any other force in this world cannot take that life away from him. So we should learn to trust Krishna fully. And those who are materialists should learn that you cannot be successful in this life unless you become Krishna's devotee. That's what we can learn, what every living entity can learn from these pastimes. Hare Krishna. So, any discussion? Yes. Okay, Mr. Gotti. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's very frightening to think about getting Christian, because in reality, in order for them to be there fighting problems and full fear, full anger and determination, can't have a remembrance of that conversation that Christian promises, then they will come back.
Yes. Yeah, and therefore they experience anxiety. But Krishna didn't forget what he said. They may have forgotten, but Krishna didn't forget. Yeah.
It just seems like a scary point. That we have to forget Krishna, go from here.
Well, yeah. We should be terrified. Is that it? We should be terrified that we can't remember Krishna. And all our struggles should be aiming at trying to remember Krishna, trying to become attracted to Krishna, trying to fix our minds on Krishna. In our neophyte condition, it's a struggle to remember Krishna. You know, to push other thoughts out of our mind and think about Krishna. That's our struggle. But there is a higher stage of devotional service that we certainly can achieve, eventually at least. And that's the higher stage in which you're so attracted to Krishna, you're so obsessed with him, that it's a struggle not to think about him. That's where we have to get from this fearful, uncertain condition we're in now to that higher condition. Somehow, whatever it takes, we have to go. Maybe we're 20% advanced, and we have to get to the stage of 80%. Where there's no fear, where you have to struggle not to think about Krishna. So we have to somehow figure out how to get from 20% to 80%. It's said that there. I don't remember the Sanskrit. It's in the Bhagavatam. There are two kinds of people who are free from anxiety in this world. The person who is completely materialistic, totally foolish, and the person who is beyond all material duality. Or as Prabhupada paraphrases it, the only two people who are happy in this world are the pig and the Paramahamsa. Everybody else in the middle is in anxiety. The materialists are in anxiety, you know why? Because they're struggling in the mode of passion for something they can't have. And the practicing devotees are in anxiety because they're not confident that they're successful yet. They're worried, maybe I'll fail. Only when you reach that higher stage will that anxiety go away. But we have to somehow get there. Figure out or find out from somebody how to get from 20% to 80%. Okay. Thank you. Okay, but Achintya Chaitanya Prabhu had his hand first here. Some exception of what?
Children.
Born. Yeah. Oh, yes. Talents from one life are carried to the next. Yes, your abilities, the development of your consciousness, you don't lose that. A subtle body you take with you, which includes your abilities. You earn an ability, you know, like Mozart. Prabhupada said that great geniuses like Mozart came down from the heavenly planets and fell down to the earth for some reason. And they maybe not in all cases, but in some cases, especially when someone comes from a higher region, he doesn't lose all his abilities, and it carries from one life to the next. It's part of your karma. You have good karma, you haven't used it up, so you can continue to enjoy it in a second life. And if you've been very sinful, it's so much karma, such a heavy burden of karma, that it will take several lifetimes to use it up. Then you have to suffer the same unfortunate condition one after a life after another. So it's just a case of good karma that hasn't been depleted yet, continuing into the next life. Yes, can I come with you? Asura Baba. Well, Baba, in a more general sense of mood. You know, in the Rasa Shastra, the terminology used by Rupa Goswami, Baba means the transcendental ecstasy that is the preliminary stage of prema. That's the technical sense. But most generally, Baba just means a mood of the mind or the heart. Or even more generally, it just means a condition. Like Guru Shishya Bhava. It's the kind of relationship that you have between a guru and a teacher and disciple. That's called Guru Shishya Bhava. It just means condition. But here, when Asura Bhava means mentality, the mood of a demon. I'm a spirit soul. I'm serving to Krishna. I'm not devotee or demon, angel or devil. But the spirit of a devil infects me, then I become like a devil. That's Asura Bhava. Okay. The same word, but it has, you know, in different contexts, it has different general or more technical meanings.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yes, I was asked that a couple of days ago, and this morning I looked for it. It doesn't say anywhere in the text. I'm repeating the question. It doesn't say anywhere in the text that Narayan offered Jayavijay a choice of seven births as devotees or three as demons. It doesn't say that in the text, and I checked this morning, it doesn't say that. It's not said in any of the commentaries. So this is just Prabhupada's own realization. He has that privilege. He can share with us his personal realizations on it. Okay. He's got some information coming from somewhere. All right. This is not, you know, university publisher that you have to put footnotes on everything. If you have a transcendental realization and you're the acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us a lot of things in his commentaries that you can't find in any book anywhere. They're just his transcendental realizations. So when the speaker, the writer, is someone of that caliber, we give him his liberty to tell us his own realizations. It's not like when you're reading something written by someone you don't trust and you want references on everything because you don't trust the person. But if you trust fully the person who's speaking, then even if it's just coming out of his head, then you accept it. Okay. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Okay, I don't see any hands. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. To her. Yeah.